This is all from the evil one. Remember, Satan doesn't want to scorch the earth and burn it down. He doesn't want to do that. He wants to change it into evil and rule it. That's his goal. He's basically is just a sick, perverted weirdo who got completely consumed with greed and consumed with, you know, arrogance and pride and rebelled against God and what was right. That's who he is. You know, it's very much like that Star Wars character. You know, when you look at the dark side and you see this wizard there, and he's this weirdo, and he's got this lightning coming out of his fingernails. I mean, it's like that. It's like, you know, we've got a situation in which we've got this war going on with these evil things doing evil stuff, and it's what it is. But let's go back to the Genesis real quick. Let's go ahead and do Angel Wars Part 7 real quick, and this is good. You know, and, you know, when Jesus and, you know, and God were talking to Adam in our garden and they were downloading information into him, the first thing that Jesus told Adam was to basically do his job in the garden, make sure it would continue to look beautiful, I guess. And then it also says in Genesis 2:15, and the Lord took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. The second thing that Jesus told Adam was that he was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and if he did, he'd die. You know, Adam knew that, you know, he had a beginning and that his life existence would end if he would eat of the tree. Well, Jesus did not tell him why he couldn't eat of the tree. He was told to obey and ask no questions. Now, why would he do that? Freedom of will. Because he knew it was going to be a test for him. He knew what was going to happen. And, you know, but Jesus also knew that it was not good for man to be alone. And so he gave, you know, Adam and Eve, you know, he decided to basically, you know, build Eve. And that's what he did. He took a rib out of Adam and created her. In order to populate the earth, you know, Jesus had to recreate a human female. He took cells from the rib or whatever he did with the rib, and he changed the DNA partially. The same way he constructed Adam's physical body, the body of Eve was formed. It was equipped with reproductive organs, which would make it possible for her to become pregnant and carry a baby in her womb. Now, I want to stop here for 1 second, and I want to talk about secondary sexual characteristics in womb, in utero. When mammals are formed and they're conceived, all of them are conceived female. It's just how it works. And what happens is because of the hormones that are in the body, because God made it so elaborate, you know, the clitoris, you know, becomes the penis, the ovaries become testicles, and you have a maturation with a Y chromosome in which the person is changed into a man, and he goes from a right brain dominated hemisphere to a left brain female dominated hemisphere, and it changes immediately. This is what Lucifer knows. He understands this. You got to remember, he's not a dummy. You know, at one point he was, you know, the highest created being, you know, heaven under God. And that's why he staged this coup d'etat. So many people came with him. We got to understand who he is. And that's what they're after here with the transgender stuff right there. Now, I said a mouthful. I'm going to say it again. If you could stop the secondary sexual characteristics from developing when you put a mother on spike proteins or you put her on hormones or do you whatever you do, or if a child is born, that child will never develop properly. He'll be a hermaphrodite. He'll be transgender. That's the goal here. And they teach these little children that this is okay. They show them pictures, by the way, of, you know, the hermaphroditic agenda or the sexual agenda at 4 or 5 years of age. This is why DeSantis got so mad. And these kids are acting this stuff out and trying to rape each other at the age of 6 now. This is some sick stuff. And I don't even like talking about it. But right here is when this occurs with the secondary sexual characteristics that happens. And so when we understand that, you start to understand that, you know, everybody understands where this is coming from. It's from the evil one. You know, there's no timeline on how long it took to create Eve. There's not. But we know that they weren't together, and that, you know, Adam was not at the same location where Eve was created, since the text states that Jesus brought Eve to Adam. Eve would have been given the ability to hear and speak, and both of them knew they were male and female, so they started to enjoy each other. And I believe at this point they probably started to procreate. They were beautiful. They were naked. They lived without shame. And I'll read it to you in Genesis 2:21-25. And the Lord caused Adam a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which was the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam says, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called Eve. Called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and the wife, and were not ashamed. Genesis 2:21-25. Then, this is interesting here, we had to replenish the earth, and Jesus gave Adam and Eve unlimited, you know, gave them limited knowledge. They were told they were, that, who, you know, they were, they told them who created them, that they were gods. You know, the Hebrew term for this is Elohim. And the translators of different Bibles in English, German, and other languages ignore the word Elohim and translated it to God. However, to God, which is singular. However, they were true to the text that stated that God said, let us, without any explanation of us, who it is. And of course, we look at that now as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Adam and Eve were given the whole narrative of the refurbishing of the earth that mostly didn't understand it because they had no knowledge of the prior universe and what had happened. Now, Adam obviously was a scholar. He obviously was very smart. He could name all the animals. And I'm sure he kept a record of what was going on and kept what was happening. Jesus taught them not only to speak a language, but how to know and do it in written form. Adam and Eve were told to replenish the earth with their future children. And the word replenish means to restock something that was lost, to replace something that was lost. In other words, the pre-Adamic race. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all of earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. The same word replenish is found in Genesis chapter 9, when Noah and his sons were told to procreate and start to replenish the earth with human beings. This means that the understanding of a pre-Adamic world is true, and just like Noah and his sons were to replenish the earth after the great flood, so was Adam and Eve, Genesis 9:1. Now, we also know that, you know, everybody was, you know, all the animals were created vegetarians, and therefore that pretty much eliminates T-Rex being in the garden running around. We got to understand that, too. Thus, refurbishing the earth really created a beautiful paradise without sin that was perfect and without, you know, filled with goodness. And God said, behold, I've given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which there's a fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be your for meat. And to every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, whether there is life, I have given you every green herb for meat. And it was so, Genesis 1:29-30. Now, this gets very interesting here. The account of the refurbishing of the earth in the 6 days ended, which is apparently 6,000 years according to, you know, to heavenly time. On the seventh day, God rested from his works. This indicates to me that really that for the next 1,000 years that there was really limited activity for the Godhead, and he took a day of rest. And Lucifer wasn't going to be allowed to start the temptation until the day of rest was over. And God saw that everything he made had been he had made, and behold, it was good. In the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which he had made it. Now, so that means God took a 1,000-year break. Remember, to God, 1,000 years is but a day. You know, is but a day. Now, what's interesting to this, what were Adam and Eve doing during the seventh day? Now, in my opinion, if you look at this, they were procreating. You know, now stay with me for a second. They were probably having children. Okay, if you do a forensic investigation of the text of Genesis, we're told the temptation of Eve and how she led Adam into sinning with her. In chapter 4 of Genesis is recorded the birth of Cain and Abel after they had fallen from grace. Cain murdered his brother Abel, and Abel was driven out from the place he eventually would live with his family. And he stated he feared that the people living on the earth would slay him. Well, here's the question. Where are these people living on the earth from? Because these people living on the earth supposedly, you know, haven't been made by God. How do we know at this point that, you know, they weren't the people that were from Adam and Eve for that 1,000-year point? We don't know that. Cain then moved to a place called the land of Nod, which was east of Eden, and he gets married and starts to have children. This leads to the following questions. Who were the people he feared would kill him? Who were the people living in Nod? And where did Cain's wife come from? And it makes perfect sense. If you think about this, during the seventh day when God rested, Adam and Eve started to have kids. Now, I personally believe this. I mean, that's what I think. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know, because the Bible's not clear about it. But since Eve was able to have children, she's probably very, very fertile. That means she had 1,000 years to have kids. That means if she was having kids every couple of years, you know, Adam could have had 500 kids. You know, and by the time they came to age and they started reproducing, there would be now millions of these kids on the earth. It could be that where Cain got his wife in the land of Nod. I don't know. The Bible does not say that Cain was Eve's first child, but Cain and Abel were the first children Adam and Eve had after they had sinned in the garden. So always remember this stuff, that you have to tie some of these things together, and where did this stuff come from? Where did these people come from? So always remember that. Now, after the first 7,000 years, Lucifer was given his first chance to prove his accusation. We have the person who comes into the story, the bad guy, and he was able to have access to the refurbished earth, and he allowed to tempt one creature to loan out his physical body. That would be the snake, unless he morphed into the snake. We don't know that because, again, the Ein Sof character is a snake in a tree. That's from the Kabbalah. And basically they tempted Eve, and Eve then basically turned and brought Adam into this mess. So we have to understand what happened. This is, now the serpent was more subtle than the beast of the field, which God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Yeah. Now think about this. The angels are watching all this. Okay. This is like a big spectacle. Like we talked about yesterday, like they were in an arena. And it says, you know, in 2 Corinthians 11:14-15, and no marvel, for Satan has transformed himself into an angel of the light. Therefore, it is no great thing if he ministers also to be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, this serpent basically approached Eve, you know, and started talking to her. And Lucifer just figured out that Eve would be the weakest link. And he waited patiently, for Eve was alone in the garden, and Adam was busy wherever he was. You know, but Adam should have been on point, but Adam had no idea this was going to happen either. And that's when you know, the serpent, you know, basically walked up to Eve and may have had legs back then, who knows. But Eve was not surprised that the serpent was talking to her, which I think, find that a little bit odd. But, you know, who knows what was going on as far as in the Garden of Eden at that time, and if people could actually talk to animals, I don't know. But, you know, all of a sudden, she picks one of the fruits of the tree to start eating it. And at that point, we probably had a dark shadow cover Eve, and basically, and her spirit basically was still filled with the sinful nature, transferred over from Lucifer. Lucifer beguiled Eve. Now, one other thing I want to say this. Some people believe that when Cain killed Abel, and this is what these Luciferians believe, that when they talk about being beguiled, that Eve was basically either raped or had sex with Lucifer, and that gave line to the bloodline of Cain. Whether that's true or not, you guys figure that one out on your own. But this transferred her into this kingdom of Satan, and then now she wanted to make sure she took Adam with her. By this time, the serpent, you know, was gone, and basically, he was probably excited that he had done this, and the woman had chosen to sin rather than love Jesus and be obedient. And as an evil spirit now had now been placed in Eve, she located Adam, told him what she had done, and he looked at his beautiful wife, and then he thought about Jesus, and Eve stood with the fruit in her hand and begged him to eat it and join her in rebellion. And Adam made a choice. He loved Jesus, but he loved his wife more, and he stretched out his hand, and he took the fruit from her hand, and he ate it, and a dark shadow then covered him. So all of this stuff is, you know, recorded in the Bible as far as the scripture here. And, you know, and ye shall be as gods, knowing for good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit, therefore, and did eat, and also gave unto her husband with her, and he did also eat. Genesis 3:1-6. Now, what was interesting is that we realize that these angels must have been weeping by now in the universe, the good angels, because Lucifer now, you know, had joined his evil spirits, and evil spirits, they were jubilant. And they were boasting that Jesus had worked for some, I guess, 7,000 years to set up a new race. And in a few minutes, Lucifer came in and beguiled her. So, you know, all of a sudden they realized they were naked, and they had heard Jesus calling, God calling in the evening, and they were gripped by fear and they hid themselves. And, you know, then we know that, you know, Jesus called Adam and told him to come forth and ask him who he told that he was naked. And he asked if he had eaten the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the serpent. Everybody's blaming everybody here. And, you know, what's funny about this, I'm going to stop for 1 second and break the story up a little bit and just get off the intensity of this. You see this all of the time when people have bad relationships and bad marriages. They may be married 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times. And I've seen it repeatedly now. And you talk to them, and they hate all 5 of their ex-husbands, or they hate all 5 of their ex-wives. And it's always the other person's fault. And I see this with the blame shifting here in the Garden of Eden. It's always somebody else's fault. No, we have to take responsibility for what we do, and it's going to always be sitting back on us. I heard an old Baptist preacher say it one time this way. He said, every pot sits on its own bottom, and these guys should have said, hey, we did this, we're bad, we should have done this. That's what this says. And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Genesis 3:9-13. Jesus just ignored the blame game, and he basically started sentencing. He cursed the serpent for having loaned out his body. he'd lose his legs, apparently. And from that time, all servants of the earth were cursed. And the servant had not had a free will. He would not have been judged, but apparently he had a free will. Unless it was, again, Lucifer that had basically morphed himself into this. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above all and every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Genesis 3:14. And then Jesus made a very prophetic statement. He says that there will be a war between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman in due time. Lucifer would be crushed. This is Genesis 3:15. And I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, at that point in time, the women were basically sentenced to difficult childbirth. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And men were sentenced to hard labor. And so all of this stuff happened because of following into sin and not doing what God wanted them to do. We have to understand that. It wasn't like God was like trying to be mean to them. He was like saying, hey, look, you guys have been disobedient kids, so here's the deal. You know, the Adam and Eve and their offspring were driven out of the garden, which is then to be protected by a cherubim with flaming swords. And this one act of disobedience cost Adam and Eve a close fellowship with Jesus and their beautiful lifestyle in the garden. Now, you couldn't put a blame on the Godhead here. The angels that were watching this, both good and bad, learned no blame to be put on the Godhead. Adam and Eve had been warned, and they had lived a fantastic life, but they chose to rebel. Lucifer, I'm sure, was just completely beside himself in joy. You know, and so we have to understand that in the future, the Redeemer would come and bring salvation to the human race and prove that God is righteous, and that's Genesis 3:15, which is what Jesus did. So it's really, really important to understand where we're coming from with all this today. You know, just like it happened in the thousand-year kingdom in the future, Lucifer was released back on the earth, including the fallen angels, and maybe not all of them, maybe the Watchers weren't, I don't know, and evil spirits. And Lucifer and the fallen angels literally took up, this is Revelation 20, verse 7, Lucifer and the fallen angels took up their residence in the air while the demons spread out on the earth like ants, Ephesians 6:10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, Ephesians 6:10 through 12. And we need to understand that the human race, when all this happened, had collectively died spiritually, and they were operating in their human bodies, you know, with their souls, but each one had been infected with a sinful nature, and the demons had a field day. They started to possess them and take control over them. And so it says in Romans 5:12 through 14, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law of sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned. And in the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the future of him that was to come? And we have to understand that Lucifer, at that point, I'm sure, ordered the fallen angels to organize evil spirits and to start wars and murder on the earth and start all these different religions and all the rest of it. And then they enticed Cain to kill Abel. And remember, this is where it comes in that Cain killed Abel and Abel's blood cried out. And it says it's like a thunderbolt that went through the entire universe when this happened. And we need to understand that in Hebrews, it says that when Christ died on the cross and he shed his blood, it was much, much greater than that of Abel. And that's the thunderbolt that is the omnipresence of God Almighty through Christ Jesus and the blood that transforms us and makes us a new creature, that allows our DNA to be reconciled back to God Almighty, to allow us to come in the presence of God, to allow God no longer to see us, but to only see Jesus when he sees us, because we are redeemed. That's what the cross is. I tied all this together now today back to the New Testament. This is the same group of people. It's always the same group of these entities, these fallen angels, these evil ones that do everything. It's the bloodline families. It's the Rothschilds. It's the DuPonts. It's all the rest of these people that are running the planet, have been here for years and years and years and years, decades, centuries, millennial, that do this. It's the same ones that took down Building 7. It's the same ones that did 9/11. It's the same ones that did World War I, World War II, the Vietnam War. It's always the same people, the same group that brought us the Federal Reserve Act, the same group that basically came in and caused the Civil War in the United States, the same group that did all of this stuff is the same group. It's always them. And their father is Lucifer. And he's basically, you know, a liar from the beginning, and he always will be a liar. There's nothing we can do to fix any of that. That's who he is. So, again, if you read the book by William Guy Carr, which I highly recommend, Pawns of the Game, it goes into detail on this, and it talks about how we are pawns in the game of this great, how should I say, trial that, you know, and this appeal that happened in the heavenlies eons of time ago, and here we all sit in the middle of it. That's why when we put on the full armor of God, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and we realize who Christ is and what Jesus did for us, it makes sense, because he is the escape strategy that we have, and without him, it's impossible to get through this. That's why I tell you guys all the time, it's all about Jesus, the author, the finisher, and the perfecter of our faith. Without him, there is no redemption, period. And always remember that if we don't wake up and follow the biblical principles, you know, this evil, this scourge, this demonic presence that's been released upon this planet is going to continue to overtake everybody and everything. You know, there was a great halt to this. You know, this continued to go unabated all the way from the Garden of Eden. You know, God tried to separate the Jews to serve him, and they wouldn't stop killing their own children and sacrificing to these entities and these fallen gods. And remember, too, this is important, you know, the giants were there on the earth that day, in that time. And now I'm going to tie one more little piece of this puzzle together. This is Genesis 6. I'll go into more detail on this tomorrow. But what ended up happening is I believe that these ancient titans, you know, like Zeus and Apollo and all that, I believe a lot of those ancient mythologies that we were taught, you know, as kids as being myths, I think some of that stuff may have been true. And it may have been some of these entities that were Nephilim before the flood. And they were basically, you know, talked about for generations about the giants that were on the earth. And of course, we know we have the statues or the skeletons of the giants they find. They always seem to disappear into the Smithsonian. All of this stuff is, you know, post flood. We got to remember that we're not talking about millions of years ago. That whole theory of evolution and the millions of years ago nonsense they've thrown at us over and over and over again, it's all based on carbon dating, which is just rife with just absolutely inaccuracies. And the Bible is going to be a lot more accurate. If you go over to Angkor Wat over in Cambodia, they've got pictures of a stegosaurus, you know, engraved in the rock. Well, how in the world – this is like 1600. It's like 500 years ago. How in the world do they know what a stegosaurus was 500 years ago? They weren't like a bunch of archaeologists going out there and excavating stegosauruses. I mean, this is crazy that this lie that has permeated this culture and this world is so invasive. But why should we be surprised? Because he's the original liar and the father of lies. And that's Lucifer. We have to understand that. And he's going to continue to lie because, like I said, he doesn't want to have a scorched earth policy in which he destroys everything. He wants to rule a fallen planet that's full of filth and perversion, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was becoming very quickly again in the days of Rome with open human sacrifice and gladiatorial combat to the death, and Christ came in and stopped all of that stuff. They don't want a new world order. They want their old world order back. I've told you that, guys, hundreds of times, but we're not going to let them have that, not on our watch. On the Ted Nelson Brewer Show, we're going to stand against this. Thank you for your support of Health Masters.